Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. All right, no upfront plugs this week. You all know where to look for info for contracting my life coaching services. So let's just jump into this week's question. It reads quite simply, how do I stop myself from killing my coworkers? The guy next to me chews so loudly. All right, so last week I facetiously claimed this question would be about murder, and I hope people aren't too disappointed that this obviously isn't a literal question of killing people. But for those that want this taken seriously, obviously, if you think that you are a serious violent threat to yourself or someone you work with, please talk to a psychological professional. Violence is absolutely never justified, except in cases of self-defense. However, I happen to know that in this case, the question was mostly a joke. That being said, I figured I may as well try to treat it as a jumping-off point to talk about workplace relations. Offices and other workplaces, and even schools, are different from friends and family relations. We spend as much time or more with coworkers, you know, these people that we didn't necessarily choose to be around, as we do with people who we actively chose. It's important to keep this in mind as the general context. We choose our friends and choose to continue associating with family into adulthood, based off of a litany of factors, including personality, politics, shared experiences, even childhood decisions. We also have a choice to maintain those friendships, meaning that at any point, we can decide that we no longer benefit from having this or that person in our lives. We have near complete control over how these people impact us. Even family, which most people usually think is this, you know, unbreakable bond, even that has its limits. You may always hope for the best for your younger brother, but after the 20th or 30th time he steals your money or your identity to buy drugs, to feed, you know, a self-destructive spiral that he has no intention of pulling out of, you'd be surprised how much of a relief it can be to cut that kind of family out of your life. So the point is, all of these associations are directly voluntary. That is not the case with coworkers. And again, I'm lumping, you know, fellow students into this category as well. With coworkers, you were only grouped together with these people because your boss, or, you know, worse, some HR employee or some other bureaucrat, decided that that's the way things should be. They want a job done, and while they might have tried to pick the best individual people to get that accomplished, there's a good chance that they didn't account for personalities or team working style. Now, when dealing with these other people, and taking into account all that context, the first thing you have to consider, like always, is what can I control and what can't I control? Well, the first thing you can control is whether you want to work at that job or not. I know that seems like a drastic place to go right out of the gate, but the reason I bring it up first is because when you are feeling bitter or resentful at your coworkers, the first thing you have to do is keep yourself from turning molehills into mountains. Ultimately, you have only yourself to blame for being in this office sitting next to this annoying guy. Assume he's never going to stop chewing that chewing sound, and there's nothing you can do about it. Are you willing to quit over it? If you aren't, then right then and there, you're making that choice. So however much you hate working with him, it's still something you're choosing to do. You're choosing to endure that rather than start a new job search. So you aren't going to quit over this, but what resources are left to you? Some might say that you should tell your boss. In my opinion, that's about the last thing I would do. There are a few reasons. First, it might end up making things worse because even if the guy stops eating at his desk, he's now going to be bitter towards you, which could lead to worse problems down the line. Secondly, the boss might think less of you, viewing you as a juvenile tattletale or whatever. Adults don't need authority figures to sort their problems out for them, and when employers get the sense that they've hired a child-minded person, that's usually a worrying sign for them. As you might expect, the best initial course of action is to talk to the guy and ask if he could close his mouth while eating, or even take his food into the kitchen and finish. Now, in terms of style, by far the best way of approaching this is to be self-deprecating. Remember, you are essentially imposing your will on someone else. You're asking someone to change how they behave in order to make you feel better. That's a big ask. I know our current culture is currently all about coddling people's emotions like they're these precious, fragile things, but that's not how human beings are wired. We're wired to be selfish. Not, you know, in a destructive way, just in a healthy, like, I'm my first priority kind of way. So asking someone to edit their behavior for us is imposing, even on a small scale level. Now, self-deprecation serves two purposes. Number one, it acknowledges that you know that what you are asking is a favor to you. And number two, it also casts you in the role of, like, the weird one, and them in the role of the normal one. Let me illustrate the difference. Okay. Hey, Bob, your chewing is really loud. Could you please stop that? It's super annoying. Now here, you're being, you know, polite enough. You're even saying please. But there's an accusation in there as well, as an implication that he's the offender, you know, the weird one that's disrupting the normal workplace. Now, compare that to this approach. Hey, Bob, I know this is going to sound silly, but I'm really sensitive to even the slightest chewing sounds. They drive me up a wall and really distract me. I don't know why. I know it's, like, annoying of me to ask, but would you mind helping me out and finish that in the kitchen? I'll totally owe you one. Do you notice the difference there? Right out of the gate, you're the oddball and he's doing you a favor. He doesn't feel accused or attacked, and now he may even feel like a good Samaritan for going out of his way to help you, you know, and your strange preferences out. Is it objectively weird or abnormal that you want him to stop chewing so loudly? No, of course not. But it's all about what you're trying to accomplish. If you want him to stop chewing loudly, then taking your emotional impulses out of it is the best way to get to that goal. Most people lose sight of what they're trying to accomplish, and they think that if they blow up at Bob, or even just mildly scold him, that that jolt of self-righteous satisfaction is more important than to fix the original problem. You know, sure, you may feel superior for a few minutes, but you still have to endure the chewing, and now you have to endure also his bitterness. Of course, if he still doesn't try to accommodate you after the self-deprecating request, that's when you have to consider training yourself to ignore it. After all, short of laying hands on you, he's not doing anything outright wrong. He's just being who he is, and you're being who you are, and both of those are valid. Put in some headphones, or if you aren't allowed to do that at work, maybe some discreet earplugs. If he doesn't voluntarily decide to change his behavior, you're basically now dealing with a force of nature. You can be angry and bitter at the wind for blowing, but the wind doesn't care. Better to just accept it as a fact of life and adapt to it. Alright, well, that's me taking a joke question and running with it. This might not have really helped the questioner, because, again, it was more of like a, you know, passing joke. But hopefully some of you out there listening will appreciate the strategy of using self-deprecation in your requests for people. So until next week, have a good one.